We continue our study of the good news and seven ones with lesson 11, the one baptism. Does it matter how baptism is administered? Can we choose between sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? We know that the Bible is the God-breathed, inspired Word of God. And so we know that God created human language and that when God chose specific words to be written down in certain places of Scripture, then He was able to choose the exact words that He wanted. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. To show you that God used specific words for specific ones of these options, we'll look at Leviticus chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. And the priest shall take some of a log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil in his left hand and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. In this one example, the priest pours oil, he dips his finger in the oil, and then he sprinkles the oil. In Hebrew, the word for pour is yatsak. In Greek, the word for pour is kio. In Hebrew, the word for dip or immerse is tabal, and in the Greek, it's babto. In Hebrew, the word for sprinkle is naza, and in the Greek, it's ramtizo. There's a specific word for pour, a specific word for dip or immerse, and a specific word for sprinkle. Notice that God used all three words in Leviticus 14, 15, and 16. There was the pouring of the oil into the hand, the dipping or immersing of the finger in the oil, and then the sprinkling of the oil. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now the word that God had inspired to be written in Greek was a word that meant to dip or plunge beneath. It was transliterated into the word baptized. Baptized is not a Greek word. The Greek word there was babto, which means to dip, immerse, to plunge beneath. And so God specifically chose the word to immerse. And so man does not have the right to replace God's word with a word that would mean to pour or a word that would mean to sprinkle. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of languages, the one who inspired the Bible to be written, chose the word babto, which means to dip or plunge beneath, to immerse. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, God chose babto, which means to dip or immerse. Baptism is a burial, which we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4 says, Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, we read of the conversion of the Ethiopian nobleman. Let's read. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, except someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. We are sure that the Ethiopian would have had drinking water as he traveled across the desert, but yet he waited to come to a certain water that he could go into and come up out of to ask for baptism. If baptism was by sprinkling or pouring, then the drinking water would have been sufficient anywhere along the way. Does the teaching that one receives before and after baptism matter? And so we have established the fact by the very word that God chose, bapto, that baptism is an immersion or a burial. And we can see by example, and we can also see by teaching in Romans 6 that baptism is a burial, and by the example of the Ethiopian, that baptism is a burial. Does the teaching that one receives before baptism and after baptism matter? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we see that Jesus says that we need to make disciples, we need to baptize, and we need to teach them to observe all things that he commanded. Should someone or should anyone ever be baptized again? Let's look at Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through chapter 19, verse 12 to answer this question. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? You see, Paul realizes that the teachings that these individuals received before and after baptism was not true teaching because they had never heard of the Holy Spirit. The preacher that taught them was Apollos, who was a nice man, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, but he did not know the way of the Lord perfectly. Therefore, the baptism that they had taken was not the one baptism of the New Testament that was connected to the proper teaching of the faith. And so again, Paul said unto them, Into what then were you baptized? So they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits spirits went out of them. Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, but he did not know the way of the Lord perfectly. He taught people wrong and baptized them for the wrong reason and with wrong teaching. Aquila and Priscilla taught him, Apollos, the way of the Lord more perfectly. But what about those he had taught wrong and baptized under the wrong teaching? Paul came along later and taught them correctly and baptized them in the name of the Lord. When he baptized them in the name of the Lord, three things would have happened. They would have received forgiveness of sins. They would have received the Holy Spirit as a gift, the indwelling of the Spirit, and the Lord would have added them to the church. We see later that Paul laid his hands on them, and at that point they would have been able to receive a miraculous manifestation of the Spirit. And so again, Paul came along later and taught them correctly and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. This baptism was the one baptism connected to the one faith. Their first immersion was not really baptism at all because it was not connected to proper teaching.